The Cozy Earth Mother's Day Sale is here. Their incredible bedding and loungewear is mind-blowingly satisfying to touch, and it is sourced from bamboo, and it's good for the planet, free from toxins, it gets softer with every single wash, and it's naturally temperature regulating. My mum approves, and yours will too. Listeners get 35% off any order at cozyearth.com using code GROWTH.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How much should we observe our own behavior? This is a brilliantly meta question to start with that could lead us into the trap of observing ourselves and how much observing of ourselves we can observe ourselves. Well, some ancient Zen wisdom has a story for us here. One day, a grasshopper saw a centipede walking along and stared at him in astonishment. He jumps over to the centipede and asks, "How ever do you know which leg to put forwards first?" The centipede contemplated for a moment and looked at the grasshopper in surprise and then promptly fell over and was never able to walk properly again. And this gives us one clear answer to how much we should observe ourselves, and that is probably not too much. Well, hold on to this thought for the rest of the episode, where things are going to get a bit weird. Hello and welcome to the Growth Mindset podcast with me, Sam Webster-Harris. And today we are going to be thinking about transcendent thinking and multiple dimensions across space and time. This is some of the more fascinating types of psychology that I just don't feel people talk about enough, and I really want to get more exposure to. So firstly, let's dive into transcendent versus experiential thinking. You probably know that there are modes of thinking. You'll have heard of perhaps fast and slow thinking from Daniel Kahneman, for which he won the Nobel Prize. But there is also the existential transcendent thinking versus the experiential in your body thinking. Well, you will probably be familiar with that overwhelmingly expansive feeling of trying to contemplate concepts like the indescribable vastness of the entire universe, or how face-meltingly fast the speed of light is. A really interesting fact here that I still haven't wrapped my head around is that physicists reckon that the observable universe is probably only 40% of the total 5 trillion galaxies that they think there are, if it isn't actually infinite. But due to the expansion rate of the universe and the speed that all galaxies are getting further away from us, even if we developed technology that allowed us to travel at almost the speed of light, we still would only be able to visit about 1% of the actual universe. But the thing is, of course, that would never happen. So in reality, even if technological progress goes amazingly well and we do start visiting other stars without wiping ourselves out, we're probably only ever going to reach perhaps 0.01, maybe 0.001% of the universe, if we're lucky. And that is an interesting fact for anyone contemplating if we'll ever meet aliens. Anyway, the lower ego, out-of-body thinking style, existential, etc., is quite different to considering decisions of what should I have for lunch? Is $8 too much for a coffee? I would say yes. Or perhaps conflicting desires like, I want to go for a run today, but I don't want to go for a run now so much, and probably later it'll be dark and I really don't want to go for a run when it's dark. Do I even like running? Well, these sorts of decisions are all about ourselves rather than understanding something grander. And I think there's something fleetingly beautiful about those expansive thoughts. They get us away from the incessant nature of our mundane experiential existence. And it feels like perhaps for just a moment you do discover a deeper reality, like peering behind a mirror and seeing a whole new world. You could describe it as if we spend our whole life underwater and you suddenly get to stick your head out for a second and realize there is so much more to the universe beyond our small existence. And then it quickly gets forgotten again. Because the problem is, we can't stay in that mode of thinking whilst we try to go about our normal existence. The knowledge of the fact that we are an arbitrary tiny speck in the space-time continuum doesn't leave us forever humbled. No, we snap back to assuming that we are doing day-to-day stuff that is actually important because we need to make decisions about it. We even delude ourselves into thinking that maybe even something or someone else cares and perhaps even notices all these small, inconsequential challenges and thoughts that we deal with. The very concept that all our little thoughts and actions are never noticed or remembered and are lost in time forever is not very agreeable or nice for us to think about. That is possibly one of the reasons why God is such a pervasive concept. It intuitively makes sense to our ego that at least something out there cares. And it's also a reason why we like companionship. To have someone with us as we toil away through the years of our life is really nice. Parents, of course, will know how often toddlers just want an audience to watch them do something that is completely mundane. And it turns out that feeling never really leaves us. A lot of companionship is just simply being a witness to others. So, back to the humbling thinking modes of contemplating the size of the entire universe. How many dimensions do you think you make the most of during your life? It might seem like an obvious answer of three dimensions, but I have an interesting thought experiment for you. Something that always grabs me when I travel on a plane, during the takeoff and landing, it's a rare occasion where you can look down on the Earth and humans. Our lives are lived glued to the surface of the planet. It's a singular two-dimensional film that is actually the plane of our existence. Sure, we have buildings that might go up a few meters or even hundreds of meters. And yes, we can explore mountains, and this does mean that our height above sea level can change, but you will never peel yourself off the surface of the floor that you're on. Like, just try right now to spend more than 1 second not connected to the floor. Like, you can't. And in the eyes of birds, we are basically slugs. And now, considering how important it is to us that we are three-dimensional creatures, it is really funny and challenging to accept that we live a mostly two-dimensional and flat existence when you consider how much more there is to the third dimension that we're not using. And this feeling of being a tiny human with a tiny potential of exploration in terms of the third dimension of height in the universe is just mostly forgotten about until I nestle into an airplane seat and peer out the window and start on my existential journey into the clouds again where I ponder these stupid things. But this also represents another very overlooked concept, and that is how many dimensions do you think in? Well, if we go back to the space-time continuum again, we just learned about the fact that like our existence within space is actually a much more two-dimensional existence than we're ever aware of 99% of the time. In fact, you might have never thought about that until I just told you it. And to be fair, I've never even heard of it until I actually thought about it myself. It might even be an original idea. Probably isn't. I should research it. But the point is, it doesn't get thought about a lot. And what if it's the same thing going on with time and how we use it? We go through our minutes, days, weeks, and years in way more autopilot mode than we think. And why? Well, firstly, there's our genetics, our mindsets, our traumas, our experiences, and our environment that create a wonderfully complex but entirely deterministic framework for what you will do next. And most of those decisions really aren't very examined. And you might think you're someone that like overthinks, but trust me, you don't. The infinite possibilities just for my next 5 minutes are really not scrutinized in the slightest. I could run away with my girlfriend's cat and board the first yacht I find going to the Caribbean, or I could help her make lunch. I could attempt to unpeel myself off the surface of the planet for 2 seconds by jumping off the balcony, or I could ring my mum. I could delete my podcast and the 8 years of work I've put into it, or I could ask ChatGPT for a list of 100 less morbid examples to use for this section. However, despite all these diverse options I have available to me, generally speaking, my brain will just think about either the work that I'm actually doing, or instead think about very conventional, unexciting ways to not do my work by pretending that I have something else worth doing, like checking my email or eating something in the fridge. How I use my time, compared to how I could be using my time, is mostly very unexciting. Just like in space, we could move in any of the three-dimensional directions, yet mostly we are glued to the floor. In time, we could be choosing to do any of the infinite number of possible things to do next, but we only allow ourselves a shockingly small list. Just like gravity that pins us to the floor due to physics, our evolved nature wipes away as many possible decisions as possible. Our evolved nature wipes away as many of the incomprehensible decisions as possible so we can live moment to moment with some coherence and reliability. And why does it do that? Well, brain processing is an expensive use of energy, and nature and evolution wants us to be optimized to focus on the most relevant things only. And also, we just don't want to be doing stupid things. Imagine you're driving from point A to point B, your home to your work, whatever. You might think you're making lots of decisions during the process in terms of when to pull out, when to take over, what radio station or podcast to listen to. But actually, you are wiping out the trillion other options that you could make along that journey. You could choose literally an infinite list of different ways to drive from one point to another. You could go round the roundabout twice, or five times if you felt like it. You could drive round the world twice instead. The route you choose is up to you, but you might not consider even more than two options. Then there's the other side of driving. You are choosing to stay on the road and be a sensible driver. In any moment, you could turn the steering wheel slightly too little or brake slightly too late, and the journey would end in disaster. Every single moment, that could happen. Yet most of the time, you don't need to think about all those possibilities. You just need to physically and mentally stay in your lane. Because like the centipede that falls over, it isn't practical to try to stimulate yourself about all those possibilities all the time, or consider to do 1,000 wild ideas you might have for options to do things with your next few seconds of your life. You actually want to be that slug stuck to the floor with a very two-dimensional approach to your potential thoughts and actions. However, when should we try visiting more dimensions? Well, just accepting the laws of a fixed plane of thinking is, of course, not very growth mindset, is it? I think it's a little sad to not put a bit more of our brain power into regularly coming up with new options for how to spend your time. Maybe once or twice or three times a week, gathering a few ideas to culture some more excitement in your life as it passes by. Instead of turning on the TV and seeing what's on Netflix at the end of the day, try watching like one Oscar award-winning film a week. It's different. What about cooking? Most humans have a repertoire of 10 meals that they know well and make regularly. They'll make them month in, month out for their life. It's routine. Try and challenge yourself to get some cookbooks and make at least one meal you've never heard of before a week. Maybe take a different route to work or walk somewhere you haven't been. Research a list of games that you want to play or activities to try and schedule one or two things into that week that gives you a bit more like chaos and diversity. When I had Topaz Azidaz on the podcast, the author of 12 Questions for Relationships, he said that the most important thing for a good relationship is to respect date night. And that's not just the fact that it happens each week, but it's also putting in the effort to make sure that you do something different together each week. Don't just sit in the same restaurant with the same food. Always try to add some excitement and novelty into it so that you actually build new memories with your partner together. You'll not only discover more things about the world, but you'll also discover things about yourself and each other. And that makes life that little bit more beautiful and interesting. And now, drumroll, we get to talk about good old entropy. Entropy is a wildly difficult concept to wrap your head around, but it's mostly the measure of disorder in the universe, and naturally, everything moves towards higher entropy and chaos. Humans, however, are anti-entropy machines. Your house will become slowly messier over the week, yet you clean it up. The phone that you have is a bunch of different chemicals organized into a functioning and non-random device. You may have heard that our brains are the most complex known structure in the universe, and they are designed to work things out so that we have solutions. And some of those solutions are the things like our habits and our routines. They are easy answers that we can come up with for living day to day so that we don't need to think about what to do. But we should, however, sometimes use our brains to introduce some chaos into our lives and allow for more random chances and surprises. I think doing this also allows for more of our own autonomy and our observed choice in our actions, because staying on autopilot too long takes away our choices and our control. The years can literally fly by and we look back on them and feel like we were just an observer of our life as opposed to the person living it and making those decisions for ourselves. And I think this is so important and so overlooked, which is why this whole explanation up to this point has sounded so weird, because it's just not natural for us to think like this. Most of the time, we're just doing what's next and what's in front of us and what's obvious. We're not going like, ooh, how do I think in the fifth dimension? Because it's a bit weird. However, to make it a bit simpler, in the realistic too long don't read summary of what I've said so far, it's basically saying that you should put a little time into planning some more interesting things in your life to allow for richer experiences over your short life. And why? Because we fall into unknowingly very simplistic routines that work for us, and so we stop doing more interesting things. And of course, we might think we're in control of our life, but the reality is that we would probably do things differently if we were truly aware of how short and how important it is. I've had a few existential conversations lately about death on the show, and it's made it obvious to me how many people don't have anywhere near the growth mindset they would have if they haven't had a near-death experience. If you were run over by a bus today, and you managed to get rushed to hospital and saved, and after months of recovery, you eventually have all your health back, and I bet you would think differently. I bet you would have a new lease on life. So ask yourself, what would you be doing differently if you truly accepted that you could be dying at any moment and that there's no backup plan for your life when you're a bit more adventurous and willing to do the things that scare you? Would you travel more? Would you date differently? Would you live somewhere different or have a different job? Like, be really honest with yourself. I spent a lot of my 20s living in London, and honestly, it is not the place for me. I now live near the beach in Portugal where I can surf, and that's a dream I've had since I was 5. No one made me take ownership of my happiness, I just had to go and do it. How about boredom? Can you let yourself be bored? Can you go for a walk without your phone? Why is this important? Well, it's only when you're bored that your brain has time to come up with unresolved problems like, what are you doing with your life, and come up with good ideas. And if you can't be bored, is it because you're letting your habits of routine and reaching for distraction rule over your ability to be at peace with your mind just being by itself? And that might sound mundane, but it's super important. It also relates highly to just the emotions we tie ourselves into for no good reason. Do you ever get annoyed at things, or maybe become blameful? Well, if you do, that limits your ability to actually move forward in your life with freedom. When an argument starts, do you just let it cascade forwards and blame the other person for hurting your feelings? Or do you stop and ask to take 5 minutes to calm down and work out where the miscommunication is happening for both of you and work towards resolving things instead of making it worse? James Clear has a really great quote on this. He says, holding on to anger and resentment is like scuba diving with an anchor. As long as you're clinging to it, you are bound to the seabed, limited in movement, unable to appreciate the coral reefs and the colorful fish that dart in and out of view. Forgiveness is letting go of that anchor. It isn't about declaring what was done to you is okay, but it's about unburdening yourself so you can swim freely. Forgiveness is the gift that you give to yourself. It's the gift of letting go of the anchors that you are carrying. And I love that quote and the fact that it arrived in my email inbox yesterday, because it perfectly fits with everything I've already just written and spoken about here and the concepts in general in this episode. because I've been talking about breaking out of the flat dimensionality of our lives, and holding on to anger is another one of those things that just keeps us stuck and unable to live freely. So, with that, start making those decisions that will give you more freedom, because you are the only person that can give yourself that diversity in what you do with your life. You might remember that I started with the question of how much should we observe our own behavior? Well, we don't need to be like the centipede that falls over trying to overthink through every single leg movement. But it is worth being that little more thoughtful with how we live our lives. It might be just 5 minutes a week of actual thought that you need, or a short conversation with your partner to just add some extra spice into your life. And if it saves you from reaching the end of your year or the decade and wondering what happened with it all that time, it is so worth it. So give yourself the permission to be a little bit more crazy and a little bit more adventurous, because no one else is going to give that permission to you. It is up to you to let go of your anchors. Right. I hope you're having a great day, and let me know what you thought of this episode. It definitely was a bit more of the experimental ideas I think about versus some of the more standard topics. But if you think it's a value add to you and worth having in the show, let me know. If you know someone who has a really boring life, do send them this episode, because they obviously need to listen to it. If you know someone that also has a very exciting life, then send them this episode as well, to let them know that you think they are living with full dimensionality and vibrancy. And then last request is that if you are feeling super, super kind, or you just need a good reason to procrastinate, then feel free to hit me up with a good rating, as it is very much appreciated. So keep your life interesting. Don't be a passenger in your life. Take action. Make sure you live it with intentionality and purpose and a little bit of chaos. Be kind to yourself, and whilst you're at it, be kind to someone else too.